Welcome to the Thrive TV Show with Lauren Parsons, helping you boost your health, energy, and productivity.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Thrive TV Show. My name is Lauren Parsons. I'm your host, and today I'm joined by Lisa O'Neill. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Hi, it's so nice to be here.
It's so wonderful to connect with you. I have followed Lisa for many years. I've heard her speak many, many years ago. She is side-splittingly hilarious, and she is incredibly passionate now about leadership, as am I. So really excited to talk about personal power today. And the three things that Lisa and I are going to talk about are how to know what you want, believe you deserve it, and how to get it. So, oh my goodness, put everything aside, you know, pull the car over. Just listen in. This is going to be a fantastic session. So before we get into that, I just want to ask Lisa this and that question. So are you ready for a quick fire round?
Oh, I'm always ready. Born ready.
Born ready. Fantastic. So tell me, spots or stripes?
Oh, stripes. Love stripes.
I know you used to be a stylist, so I thought I'd throw that one in there. Stripes. Nice. Scrabble or chess?
Definitely Scrabble. Can't play chess. Oh. Terrible. Can't play chess.
Okay. Nice. Would you rather be a famous musician or actor, actress?
Oh, I think I'd rather, no, a musician, I think. I think self-expression would be more important than playing a role for me. I really would like to be a singer. If I could do anything, I'd be someone in one of those big stadiums with, you know, millions of people while I was singing my head off. Like Freddie Mercury, I think. That's kind of, yeah, no, definitely musician.
Nice, fabulous. A month without your car or a month without the internet?
Oh, without my car. Yeah, I couldn't live without the internet. Not happy to live without the internet. I love the internet.
Perfect. Hot drinks or cold drinks?
Hot drinks, yeah. I'm a herbal tea freak. Coffee's my drug of choice. Yeah, hot drinks, definitely hot.
Logical or creative?
I'm quite logical, but I'm very creative. So, yeah, no, I'm probably, people who know me would say I'm more creative. They would see me as more creative. I can be logical when it's needed, but not all the time. Yeah.
Nice. Be lost on a mountain or an island?
Or mountain. I don't like heat. I'd like to be in a cold mountain. I don't like the sun. I wouldn't like to be in a tropical island with a palm tree.
Okay. And last one, singing or dancing?
Oh, dancing. Love dancing. Danced my whole life. Still do. Love it.
Beautiful. Lovely. So Lisa O'Neill is feisty, funny, and fabulous. She's an absolute beam of life that will electrify your next event. She has a rare ability to deliver powerful messages through side-splitting humour, as I can attest to. She's a highly sought-after keynote speaker and MC across Australia and New Zealand, once the borders open, I guess, because we're filming this post-lockdown, post-COVID. After more than a decade on stage, Lisa is consistently top-rated, and participants love her straight-talking, refreshing wisdom and infectious laughter. They respond to her call to live big lives and become the best version of themselves. So just tell me a little bit about, you know, your journey perhaps and why it is that you love what you're doing now.
Yeah, well, I think I've always been a bit of an overachiever, and then I've always wanted to push things. I'm always like, right, how can we make it better? I've always had a massive drive to make things better. And I love personal development. I love self-improvement. I love all that sort of energy. And I think that life is so precious. And I believe we are here for such a short time, and being alive is such a gift that it sort of is wrong not to honor that. And so I'm like, if you're here and you've got a heartbeat, why are you not being the best version of yourself? And when I say that, I don't mean that as in you have to be perfect, you have to be thin, you have to be fit, you can be, I don't care what you be, but just be whatever it is that's in you and that what you really want to be and what's important to you. And the best, like I've always said to my kids, you know, I don't care if you want to be a rubbish truck man, just be the best rubbish truck man, or, you know, whatever you want to be, just be the best at it. And I'm really not judgmental around what it is. I don't think you have to go to university. I don't think you have to be qualified. I don't think you have to look a certain way. I just want people to be what's best for them. And I think so many people don't know what that is. And that to me is almost a crime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic.
I've been a drive my whole life. And then I got into styling. I did a lot of other things. I did graphic design. I did marketing. I got into styling because I just could not work out why people would just not dressing themselves properly. It's just like, what's wrong with you people? Like, I'm like, why do you leave the house looking like you do and apologizing for how you turn up? Like, to me, it's, and people say, oh, it's easy because you know how. I'm like, but I taught myself how. And to me, it's really important. I was a packaging artist, ironically. So I used to design packaging. And I think, I always wanted to control how things looked and wanted to have input on that. And then I was like, why don't humans look good? Why are we not looking the best we can with what we've got? I was always I love clothes and accessories and pretty things. So that was kind of a natural, and I just seemed to be quite good at it. And then people would ask me, oh, can you help me with this? And I was like, sure. And then I loved the physical improvement that happened in a really short period of time. Like, I was going, oh my God, I can change your life in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like 30 minutes, $100, and I can make you a new person. And I was like, ooh, this is really exciting. And then I did that for so long that I just got to the point where I was going, this is not the answer, because just getting you a new top isn't going to change your life. It's going to make you happy for an hour, and you're going to wake up tomorrow with $100 less and something else to wash. And your life's still the same because you haven't really addressed what the thing is. And, you know, generally, I know for me, when I'm shopping, I'm looking for a feeling. I either want to feel successful, I want to feel loved, I want to feel comforted, I want to feel like I deserve something, I want to feel like I'm entitled to something. There's all these feelings that are sitting underneath it. And I'm like, let's deal with that, shall we? And not worry about the top. And I would rather, I just want people to like who they are and what they're doing. And, you know, if helping them look better did work. But it wasn't enough for me after a while. I realized I was only scratching the surface.
Totally. Can totally relate to that as well. And I was just saying before that, you know, it's like for me, 20 years ago, I was working as a personal trainer and teaching other personal trainers at a college and training lots of people. And they would come to me because they wanted to feel better. And I realized very quickly that actually they did not need to lose a single gram of weight, which is what virtually all of my clients wanted to do. They didn't need to change a single thing in order to feel better, because that's about the feeling. So I know that you and I were both really passionate about helping just people be the best.
Yeah, and see, like that, you would have realized, you know, when you work one-on-one like that really closely and quite personally with people, like I spent 20 years in changing rooms with people in their underwear, you know, it's quite personal. But I kind of feel like I did a PhD in people's problems. Like I could really get quickly to the bottom of their problems. And it was actually a degree in humanity, I reckon. So I really did that time listening to people, understanding. And I would always go, yeah, but what is that really about? What is that really about? Like, what is really, what you're saying is one thing, but what it's really about is that next level down. And I was constantly trying to understand what they weren't telling me. And I found that I love humans. I think they're such a puzzle. Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, they're all a little Rubik's cube. And sometimes you've just got to click it one way and you go, oh, there you go. That's what you needed.
Yeah.
And it's such a lovely, you know, if you think about, if we're all Rubik's cubes, and some people have got two sides right and the other one's not, and some are just a massive mess, and you know, it's, and one, some have only got one little block, and you just do that one click and you go, ah, oh, there you go. And it's such an honor to do that clicking for people, I think, and to help them click themselves as well.
Yeah, fabulous. And just tell me really briefly, I know that you have quite a unique definition of leadership, because you're all about leadership development. How do you see leadership, Lisa?
Yeah, well, I think people think of leadership as like a middle-aged man in a boardroom. And to me, if someone is following you, you're a leader. Mm-hmm. And so I go, you know, if you're an older sibling, you're a leader. If you're a parent, you're a leader. If anyone is following you, you're a leader. And sometimes you might be a captain of a sports team, you're a leader. And, you know, when I go to conferences and things and I say, who here's a leader? You know, a few percentage of the room put their hand up, and I'm like, and they'll go, I'm a manager. Is that the same? And I'm like, oh my God, the word is lead. If you are leading anyone, you're a leader. And, you know, and I keep saying to my kids, like, grab every low risk leadership opportunity you can when you're at school, right? Be the school, be the sports captain, be the, you know, be in a head student, be a prefect, you know, be the lead in a role, because it gives you a chance to practice your leadership. And to me, parenting's the greatest leadership role I've ever had, and learning that, holy shit, I'm in charge and all these people are following me and they expect me to have the answers. And now, as the CEO of a business school I run, I'm like, I'm kind of like the parent. I'm the one they come to They go, can I have some money? I don't know what to do. I need your help. I need your support. And I have to constantly be going, okay, how are they all going? You know, it's like just looking around the pen and going, which one of my sheep needs me? Like, and it's the same as, to me, it's exactly the same as parenting. And I think there's so much in that, but people think that leadership is, it's a do it, that it's something you do, and it's not, it's something you be, you know. I think it's really, that's really important. Who you are you worth following? You know, are you worth following? And why would someone follow you? So I think there's a whole lot in that lead and follow.
Absolutely. And I often say that you are the leader of your own life. Like, I think everyone is a leader. I really believe that every single person is a leader because you are the leader of your own life, and the way that you show up every day matters, and you have this power to influence everyone around you. So incredible. So today we're talking about personal power. And you said that you're going to share with us the keys to this. And the first one is to know what you want. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, look, I just don't think enough people know what they want. I just, you know, I say to people all the time, what do you want? And they go, I don't know. And I'm like, actually, you do know. But either A, you're too scared to say it out loud because you think it's wrong to say what you want. And most of us were raised to believe that it's wrong to want. I don't know about you, but I was kind of raised, and my nickname was Princess I Wanter as a child. I was very overt about I want that and I want that and I want that. And I've always been a wanter. I'm very wanty. I'm not needy, but I always say I'm very wanty. And I want things. Like I have wants and desires, and it blows me away that we're not allowed to have them. And people are like, oh, you can't want that and you can't. And it's like, no, I can. And we have these fundamental needs as humans that aren't being met because we don't think we deserve for them to be met. And I reckon to be the best version of you, you've got to have your needs met. Like, it's really big. And my latest book I wrote is called Everything You Want. And it's about what are the six things that you need to get the six things that you want. So the whole basis of it, this is all very colourful and bold. And there's six things that I believe as humans, every human wants. So that love's not part of it, because I reckon love's a whole nother book that I'm in the process of writing. Okay. But things like, you know, we all want passion. We want to be lit up by something, and we all want money. Not necessarily that we all want to be rich and have, but just that we want to have, you know, life without money is quite, I feel, call money life lube. It just makes life less friction. You know, there's just less friction when you know you've got a bit of money in the bank and you've got more freedom and choices. So knowing if you could just not have to worry about money, life become, and I don't mean that as in I've got 6 million in the bank, just that I mean I'm good and I don't have to panic that the power bill's coming out today and is there enough money? Because that's so much stress that people, I don't think, talk about enough or identify as how hard that is. So I think having passion, having money, having the right support, you know, you've got to have the right support in your life to do what you want to do. And we are designed to work together and collaborate as humans. We're not designed, we've all become unhelpfully independent, and we're so like, I can do it myself, I'm amazing, I'll do it myself, I'm good, I don't need your help. And it's not how we're meant to function as humans, you know. It's just we're meant to be supporting each other and lifting each other up and working together. And I think we've lost that sense of community, and which is really sort of sad. And then I think believing in yourself and believing in something bigger than you is really important. Having something just hold on to, and the belief in you. Like my grandmother used to always say, oh, he's got shares in himself, which means he was pretty cool himself. He's bought shares in himself. And I actually think you need to have shares in yourself. You've got to believe in you, or it's very hard to function. If you don't believe in you, no one else is going to, you know. So I think belief's huge. And that, I think your health is huge. And I know that you talk a lot about this. And if you don't have your health, you know, it's bloody hard to make money from a hospital bed. It's very hard to have the life of your dreams if your limbs don't work. So it's like being proactive around health is something, mental and physical, I think is very important. And then your time, like we all have the same clock, and playing the time victim game is just wasting energy. It's like, what are you doing with your time? You're awake 100 hours a week. What are you doing with it? You know, people say to me, oh, how have you got 4 children and you've written 5 books and you run 2 businesses? And it's like, I don't watch TV and I don't do housework. So now I've got 20 hours more than everyone else because I just choose to use my time in the way that I'm the most effective and what gives me the most joy. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, I totally, and I'm with you on the no TV thing. And, you know, sometimes I guess time is all we have.
So, you know, if I want to, I will deliberately sit down and watch a show, but I never watch it when it's on, you know, in the old TV world of, oh, quick, it's 7:30, you're going to miss it. Luckily, we've moved on from that now. And you can get to watch TV when you want to. But I'm like, get in charge of your life. Don't just sit your bum down at 7 o'clock and not get up till 10 and then go, I don't even know what I did then, but there was a whole pile of crap. You know, I watched someone marry a stranger. It blows my mind that, you know, we waste so much time. And I get that people use it to chill out, but it's like, why don't you listen to music or read or walk or go to a movie or write or draw or, you know, there's other ways to actually take your mind or sew or paint or there's other ways to distract your mind from to sort of, you know.
Listen to amazing podcasts. Listen to inspiring, you know, talks and TED Talks. And yeah, absolutely.
So much in there, right? So much inspiration in the world now with the good old internet that I couldn't live without. And then I think once, if you get those six things right, so passion, money, support, belief, time, and health. If you can get those six kind of right, and they'll always move. Like it's, you know, life's kind of a constantly moving game, isn't it? It's not like you go, yay, I've got my health right, and next minute something hit and you go, bugger. Like it's constant. And I think if you can get those right, you then get to experience energy and some control in your world and some joy and some freedom and some trust, like trusting the process, trusting yourself, trusting the universe, and some action of actually getting shit done because you've got the time, you've got the belief, you've got the support. So to me, yeah, it's all about getting and working out what do you need is a big part of what do you want. So what do you really want? And I think people are really nervous to say out loud, I want this. It's like they're like, because they're scared their friends and family will say, you can't do that. And I'm like, no. So I think identifying what do you want? And it's a really big question and it's okay if you don't have the answer. But I think I practiced in the beginning going, okay, what do I want to wear? So I wear every day, I say my clothes pick me. I just wake up and I put on whatever makes me happy. I don't really care where I'm going. I get really dressed up whether I'm going to the, I don't care. I wear whatever makes me happy that day based on how I want to feel, how I want to look, how I want to be. And then I eat whatever I really want. So I go, what do I want? And instead of going, I'll just grab the cereal and the coffee because that's what I do. It's like, no, what do I want? And I go, oh, I want an egg that's running in the middle or, oh, I want something crunchy or, and just stopping and really considering what do you want? You know, when someone says, do you want a coffee? It's like, think about that and go, actually, I want a milkshake. That's what I want right now. And I think we're scared to be demanding because we don't want to be seen as high maintenance or, but actually just knowing what you want is really a big step. It's huge.
And I think there's, like you say, there's a lot of people out there that haven't either taken the time to think about what they want, or perhaps they have, but like you say, often there's a lot of fear to do with speaking it out or even writing it down. And yet at the same time, we know that people that write down, you know, I think of John Goddard's story. Have you heard of John Goddard? He's the one that wrote The Life List. And at age 15, he listened to his father's friends all sitting around the kitchen talking about all the things. Oh, I wish I'd done that. If only we'd done that, you know, and they had ill health. And he went and wrote down a list of 127 things. And he wrote My Life List at the top of it. And they were incredible, amazing things, like reading the entire works of Shakespeare and Dickens and the Bible and all these things and climbing to the top of all the mountains in the world and making it to the moon and milking poisonous snakes and all these amazing things, finding a new source of the Nile. And he actually went on and achieved 108 out of that list of 127 things. He didn't make it to the moon, but he did.
I love the intention behind it, because I think it's about intention and action. And it's like, what is your intention? What do you want? You have this precious life, and then what are you going to do about that? Because people go, oh, I really want to travel the world, and I'm like, cool, what are you doing about that? And they go, oh, well, I've got no money. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, just create it. Go and research where you go. Plan the trip. Think about it. Imagine it. Talk to people that have been to those countries. Get some energy around it, and it will start to actually happen. And, you know, I love that saying, pray, but you know, start, what is it? It's about, it's a Tibetan saying about pray for water, but start walking. And it's like, yeah. You know what, you've actually, like, yes, pray and go, yes, this is what I want, and create a vision board or whatever, but actually take some bloody action. Like, you can't just sit on a hill and think about, oh, this is what I want. You've actually got to do it. You've got to do something. Mm-hmm. And even if it's something like just going to a travel agent and getting a brochure, or just researching a country, or just one little step, that's one thing you can do to get closer to what we want.
Totally. It reminds me of James Clear's book, you know, Atomic Habits, where he talks about get 1% better, take some sort of tiny action, and then before it, you know it snowballs.
I had dinner with him, and he's incredible, and his stuff's so thorough and so thought out. Yeah. I heard him speak at a conference. I was lucky enough to have dinner with him afterwards, and you know, he's an extraordinary human, and he just, and that 1% better, like, and I talk about that all the time when I'm talking to companies, and it's like, if everyone in a corporation got 1% better, the company would get 200% better.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, it's not a lot. And I think people do that whole, oh, I'm going to change. And so the next day they eat spinach, they go for a run, you know, they put on their best outfit, they are on time, they do everything right.
And it's too much.
And then by 4 o'clock they're in a coma and they can never cover it. And it's like, just do something really little.
Yeah,
really
fantastic.
Little. I think little is underestimated, you know.
Yes. And Lisa, you said the next thing is to believe you deserve it, which I highly, highly agree with 100%. However, a lot of people listening in might be thinking, well, you know, that's easy for you to say, Lisa. How do people take that step? How do we, you know, bridge that gap between where we're at now and how do we actually believe that we deserve it?
Yeah, well, I really like, I just like the concept of believing in useful belief. Like, Chris Helder wrote a really good book. He's an Australian author, and he wrote a book called Useful Belief. And I really like it, like, to the point I was really annoyed I didn't write it. Like, I think it's so good. I was like, oh, I wish I'd written this. It's so good. And it's really, don't just be positive, because positive belief can be like, yeah, you can do it. And it's like, there's no substance in that. But it's, is it useful? And so is it useful to believe that you're useless? No, it's just not useful. So is it useful to believe that you're the greatest thing that's ever happened in the world? No, that's not useful either. But it's useful to believe that you have skills and talents that are worthwhile and that contribute to causes. And I think believing that you can have it, I personally believe that if you have something inside you you want, you have the ability to make that happen. That's a personal belief I have. So if you have a belief in you, that a need in you that you want to climb Everest, I believe you can do that. And I believe that you wouldn't have that burning desire if you didn't have the grit or the determination to make that happen. And I'm not talking about, you know, you might not have the physical fitness today, but you have the ability to get to that, because otherwise you wouldn't have that burning inside you. So I really believe in following your desire, and following your wants. And if you want something, there's a reason you want it. And on a really woo-woo level, I go, there's a soul level reason why you want that. And completing that is going to add enormously to your growth as a soul on this planet. And I love that. And I could talk about that for days. But I think it's really important that believe it. You've got to believe it. And it's like, if you don't believe you can do something, you're never going to get there. Mm-hmm. And just believing and examining your beliefs is so big. And what do you believe? Like, so for example, my mother doesn't like Christmas. She doesn't like Christmas. So she goes, oh, Christmas is awful. And I'm like, is it useful to think Christmas is awful? Because it's going to happen every year.
Yeah.
I love Christmas. I'm Mrs. Bloody Christmas. So she can't get away from Christmas with me in the world, because I'm like, 4 Christmas trees, food for Africa, Christmas becomes such a thing. And I'm like, it's not useful to stomp around all of December and all of November going, oh, I like Christmas. It's just a waste of your energy. Instead, you know, just what if Christmas was fun? What if you got gifts and ate food and hung out with people you loved? It doesn't, and it's changing your belief. And I think acknowledging what are beliefs, you know, if people believe that the mornings are hard, the mornings will be hard.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's if interesting. You believe if that being a parent is a nightmare, then being a working parent will be a nightmare. So it's like, yeah, you've got to really think about your beliefs and where they're getting, because we get in the way, our beliefs get in the way of what we want to do. So changing your belief, and you're in charge. Every belief you're in charge of, and you can change. Some of them are really hard to change. They're rusty and they're locked in, but you can. And it's like, you've got to believe you can change your beliefs, and believing that you deserve to have everything you want. To me, that's why you're on the planet. But you have to make that happen. You can't sit on a mountain and expect people to bring you gifts. You know, you've got to go looking for them.
So it's that metacognition, really, isn't it? It's thinking about your thoughts, thinking about your thoughts. You know, so
Yeah, and not believing your thoughts. Like, I treat all my thoughts as, I think of my head as a fishbowl, and I think of my thoughts as goldfish. And I just watch them float around, and I go, oh, what are you doing there? And I'm like, you're not useful. Get out. right, so if a thought comes into my head that's not useful, I just go, right, get out. And I imagine that fish just goes out my ear. I'm like, right.
So how do you do that? For people listening in that are going, okay, that sounds great, Lisa, but how do I get rid of those goldfish, those stray goldfish that I don't want there?
I just say, get out. Like, I just tell them, go. I imagine the goldfish and I say, you out, because it's my head and I'm in charge of my head. And I think being in charge of your mind is something that people need to learn to do. And if you can capture your thought, I'm doing this at the moment, teaching my 17-year-old daughter this at the moment, that examining your thoughts, knowing they're not necessarily true, and then deciding what to do with them is really powerful. So just going,
so examining your thoughts.
Examine the thoughts. So look at it. Just like if you go, you know, what's this? You go, oh, it's a piece of paper. And you examine it, and then you go, oh, that's not useful. So you go, just get out. And that's, to me, all a thought is. It's just like, you know how those things fly behind planes, those banners? It's almost like that's a thought, right? And it flies through your brain and you go, that's not useful. Get out. But I think we don't take time. And then what we do is we believe it. We go, that thought just said, you're not good enough. And so you've gone, oh, I'm not good enough. It's like, no, is it true? There's some amazing work done by a fabulous woman called Byron Katie. It's called The Work by Byron Katie. And she uses four really powerful questions. And the first one is it true? So if you, a normal thought like, oh, I'm not good enough, I could never do that. It's like, is it true? Are you actually not good enough? And you're like, maybe. And then the next thought is, how do you know? So how do you know you're not good enough? And it's like, because I think you probably are. And then what would you actually believe if that wasn't true? If that thought didn't exist, what would you be? And it's like, oh, well, if I believed I was good enough, I'd take this opportunity. Good. Well, where you go. So, you know, I really like that. Just examine your thought, decide, is it useful? And this is kind of a blur of Byron Katie and Chris Helder's stuff that put through the Lisa lens, that I just go, I look at my thinking, I go, is it useful? And then I go, actually, I don't want that thought in my head. It's just not helpful. And it's getting in the way of what I want. So I just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Go. Off you hop. And I literally just kill that goldfish. Get rid of it. And then notice the next goldfish that comes past. And then notice the thoughts you have when you're with certain people. Because some people will make you, people say, oh, she makes me feel really shit about myself. And I'm like, no one can make you feel anything. You're allowing that to happen. Right, you're allowing that to happen. So if I'm with you and everything you say makes me feel small, that's my issue. But instead of lashing out and going, oh, that's really mean, she makes me feel really, I'm like, no, that's my issue. And what am I doing about that? So, yeah, I think that's big, really big.
Amazing, amazing. And I just want to recap this, because that is so powerful for people that are listening in. If you're wanting to shift your beliefs, which is what it's all about, because it all starts with our thoughts, totally 100% agree with that. So we need to examine our thoughts. We need to understand that our thoughts aren't necessarily true. Just picture them as goldfish, picture them as banners. They're just coming and going. And then decide for yourself, is that useful? And then you're going to choose which fish you're going to nurture and grow, and which you're going to get out of the fish pond.
Yeah. So you've got to capture them, you've got to examine them, and then you've got to decide what to do with them. And you either go, that's useful, I'll keep that one, or not useful, off you go, get out. And the point is, it's the power of being in charge of your thoughts is the secret.
Yes.
And when you're in charge, you don't become a victim of your thoughts, because your head will tell you all sorts of stuff that's not helpful and not true. And you need to be on constant alert for that. And I think of us as a little child, we're like these little mailboxes that are empty and perfect. And people start posting little notes in the back of your head from a very early age. And then you wake up at 30 going, oh, I don't deserve to be happy. And you're like, hang on, who put that note in there? Where did that come from? You've got to look at it, examine it and go, nah, I'm getting rid of that note. That's not a useful message for me to carry around. And it's a message that someone gave me for whatever reason, or a message I created for whatever reason. And we all make meaning of stuff, right? We look at the world and go, oh, that means that I wasn't as good as her because she beat me in that competition. So I'm therefore I'm not good enough. And it's like, well, it doesn't mean you're not good enough. It just meant that that girl was 2 points better than you on that day. Mm-hmm. It's different, completely different than I'm not good enough.
Absolutely, you know, yeah. It's that whole pervasiveness. Like, you might fail in one moment, but that's one moment in time. And it is so interesting, the things that we interpret, especially as children. We know children are great rememberers of things, but poor interpreters of situations. And so I love this idea of just taking all of those thoughts that are in there and really examining them. I think for everyone listening in, this is some good work to go away. You know, grab some paper, jot things down, just start making this a part of your habit, your ritual.
We fill up our heads too much with stuff. Like I used to listen to loads of podcasts and I would always be listening to music. And now I just go, do you know what? I'm actually just going to listen to me. I'm going to listen to me. And I just deliberately give myself space where I'm doing nothing other than, so when I walk now, I don't listen to music. When I drive, I don't listen to, I just listen to me. I allow my head to talk to me. And then I go, I have meetings with myself and I just go, what have I got to notice? And then I go, oh, that's not true, Lisa. What are you talking about? And I literally have meetings with myself and just allow stuff to come up. Because if you're really, and often we get so busy, nothing ever comes up. So that's why you don't have the space to deal with it. And then sometimes we get busy because we don't want to deal with it. So you're busy going, oh, if I just get busy, I won't have to think about this big mess I've got in my head. And often you'll see people busy's deliberate distraction to stop them from having to really look at what's going on.
Can I just draw on something you just said? It sounds like it's a constant work. Like even you, people listening in will be going, wow, Lisa's got this so organized. This is amazing. But you're still having to weed out the thoughts, right? You're still having to do this. We're all still having to do this ongoing.
Well, every single day, I have to do a little check-in and check my head. I just, every day I have to go, oh, what happened there? What did I make that mean? What am I doing with that? Is that useful? How did I come out of that? Why did I think that? Where did that come from? I'm constantly examining and refreshing. And I think it's a constant work. And every time you don't get to, people go, oh, but I've done all this work and then this happened. And I'm like, yeah, because you're a human and you're bumbling around in life school learning. And you know, it's like, if you stop, it's kind of a dead person's goal to not have anything to deal with. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you're alive, you've got stuff to deal with every day. And I hope I have stuff to deal with every day. I look forward to it because I go, ooh, how exciting that I have this problem that I get to solve. I actually love it. Like I know I'm boring. I'm ridiculously positive about stuff. People get a bit frustrated. I'm very high in all my strengths, you know, in like Gallup strengths and stuff. My highest is positivity. I'm a pain in the ass because I can literally be positive about anything. My best friend's husband left her really suddenly. She didn't see it coming. Really suddenly, she rings me absolutely in shock and heartbroken. And I'm like, this will be the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. You just can't see it yet. And she was like, it's too soon. I was like, okay, sorry. Okay. 2 years later, she came back to me and went, you know what? You were right. But oh my God, it was too soon when you told me that. Like, sorry. But I could see there's always something positive in everything. You know, you just got to find it. And the shitty bit is the gap between when something happens and when you learn what the good bit is. And that being in the gap is awful because you're going, why did this happen? Why is this is awful. Why? And then you go, you know, and I think you don't always know why things don't work out, but I believe it's always for the greater good. That's useful for me to believe that.
Absolutely. Oh, we could do a whole session about the gap, couldn't we? But anyway, we're going to wrap up in a moment, but I just want to finish by asking you, Lisa, if people wanted to find out more about you or touch base with you, where can they find out more?
Oh yeah, so my website is www.lisaoneill.co.nz. There is actually a diagnostic on there, a free diagnostic based on this book, and you can go in and look at the 12 pieces and do a little test and work out where your strengths are. So work out where you are really good out of the 12 and where you are really not good, and it will help kind of help you. It may not give you anything you don't already know, but it will solidify it, and you might be surprised at the stuff you are really good at, because the stuff you're good at, you're unconsciously competent. So you don't know that you're good at it because it comes so naturally to you that you would say, no, I'm not good at that. And I'm like, you're so good at that. You're so good, you don't even know you're good. Like, that's how above good you are with it. It's so good for you.
Absolutely.
Whereas some people and have massive holes in the stuff, and it's like, if you just could get more support, or could look after your time, or whatever it is that is your bottom ones, they're worth working on.
Absolutely fantastic. So if people are listening in to this on Spotify or iTunes, then make sure you head to thrivetvshow.com, where you'll have all the show notes down below, so you'll be able to link through to Lisa's website. It's O'Neill with a double L, but head to thrivetvshow.com and you'll be able to access that really easily. So thank you so much, Lisa. Just before we close, I'd love to ask you one final question, and that is, if you could share with the listeners one final thought, what would it be?
Oh, I just think that, you know, living powerfully, it takes awareness, it takes responsibility, and it takes decisions, and it takes energy. You know, you've got to have energy. You've got to have awareness about yourself and what's going on around you. And you've got to take responsibility for your shit, and you've got to make decisions based on what's best for you. And I think if you're good, everyone around you will be good. And it's such important work to be the best version of you, because everyone benefits. You know, your family benefit, your business benefits, the world benefits. Everything gets better if you get better. So spend more time on you is my favorite war cry to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Sounds amazing.
Especially for women who find that so hard and have been raised to believe it's selfish to put their needs first, and that they need to be in service to every human on the planet. And it's like, you know what? The planet's not getting any better by you vacuuming. So.
Yeah, that reminds me, actually, it was one of the key things I remember from the first time I heard you speak, when you were talking about how people do, they rush out of the door because, you know, looking not put together, not even properly dressed. And you said, you know, don't do the vacuuming for a quarter of an hour in the morning, just get yourself ready. And I remember you talking about, leave that vacuum cleaner out in the hallway so that people trip over. Because when your friends come by, they'll go, oh, she's just about to vacuum. And if they're a really good friend, they'll vacuum for you. So it's lovely, the little snippets that stick with you all the years later. But I appreciate that. And I really
love it. My midwife told me that when I had my first baby. She was like, leave your vacuum cleaner out and let them, and everyone will vacuum. And I think we left it out for 6 years. I think it just stayed in the lounge.
Love it. It's like a friend barometer.
Yeah, and more people see you than your house. I don't know why people were so obsessed with having this, you know, it's a should. It's, oh, I should. What if someone comes around and what if they think I'm messy? Or like, if I go to someone's house and it's really clean and pristine, I think they have no life and no personality. I'm so bored by that. I actually don't want to go into a house that's perfect. I feel really uncomfortable. I love going into someone's house that's chaotic and messy, and there's dishes in the sink and there's books stacked up on a table, and I go, God, your life's interesting. Look at this, how exciting. And it's full of life and energy and vibration. But you know, when everything's clean and tidy and perfect, I just go, oh, I clearly don't fit in here. And
So interesting. So interesting. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for joining me. Thank you for your time and sharing your wisdom. And it's really inspiring and encouraging to hear from you. And I'm sure that everyone's enjoyed the session. So thank you so much for tuning in. Yeah, so lovely. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. That's been another episode of the Thrive TV Show. Go out and thrive.
Thank you for listening to the Thrive TV Show with Lauren Parsons. Visit thrivetvshow.com to access the show notes and discover our fantastic bonus content. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next inspiring episode.